Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. We have come together as one people gathered in the name of the one God. We will worship together as one community, giving praise and honor to the righteous one. We being empowered as one by one body and one spirit, called to the hope of one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Now in the name of the three in one, we act as one people, giving witness to the power of one. Amen.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Affirmation of Faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If you have your Bibles, join me as we read our first scripture reading from the 51st Psalm, verses 1 through 12. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being, therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. Your majesty, to be still. at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay.
If you have your Bibles, join me as we read our scripture text from the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was much younger, I enjoyed school, but I never wanted to be a teacher. I saw all the headache students that were in my class. I certainly hoped that I wasn't one of them. And I vowed that I had to do something else. Thus, my aspiration to being the first astronaut that would become the president of the United States. It was a great path while it lasted, and I guess that God had the last laugh when I was called into the field of education 20 or so years later. Rather than beginning with teaching, I was called to the ministry in 1994, about a year after high school. In many respects, the ministry of pastor and teacher is one calling. Paul tells us that the gifts Jesus gave were that some should be pastors and teachers. Apostles, prophets, and evangelists are separate offices Christ has given to His church. Pastors and teachers are combined office with two distinct functions. The Greek word for pastor is also the word for shepherd. The analogy between those who shepherd sheep and those who are called to pastor churches are not coincidental. The work of a shepherd has many parallels to that of a pastor. Shepherds care for sheep. Pastors care for God's people. Just think for a minute how many characteristics human beings share with sheep. Sheep are affectionate, unaggressive, relatively defenseless, and in constant need of care and supervision. Doesn't that description basically fit each one of us as well? Therefore, the way a pastor nurtures his or her congregation is not unlike the way a shepherd or shepherdess tends their sheep. A pastor preaches and proclaims the word of God. A teacher teaches the word of God. Paul makes it clear in verse 12 that the pastor teacher is commissioned by God to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Who are these saints? This term is used about 45 times in the New Testament for all true believers in Jesus Christ. Paul addresses this letter to the saints who were in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 1:1. All who are faithful in Christ Jesus in Ephesus and elsewhere throughout the centuries are called to the work of ministry, and this includes each one of us. To what ministry are we called? The word ministry literally means servant. We're all called to be servants who follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus sets our example in His own personal testimony. Luke 22:27, I am among you as one who serves. Then in Matthew 20, 25 through 28, he commands us, whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus fundamentally portrayed the servant spirit by washing his disciples' feet in John 13, and then explained, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Our ministry is that of serving others, following in the example of Jesus, our suffering servant. We serve others by meeting their needs. The opportunities throughout Scripture and in our world to do so are limitless. Servant ministry in Matthew 25 includes feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, opening the door of hospitality to the stranger, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, visiting those in prison. Servant ministry includes preaching, teaching, healing, nurturing, and giving. Servant ministry is laymen, laywomen, and teenagers from our church, from our district, from our conference, helping others in need during times of devastation, disaster. Servant ministry is donating blood to the American Red Cross or buying Christmas presents for needy children for the Salvation Army's Angel Tree. Servant ministry is raking leaves or mowing the lawn for your neighbor. Servant ministry is becoming a big brother or big sister for a child or a teenager who needs a godly mentor to show them the way. Servant ministry is sharing compassion and showing concern. Servant ministry is encouraging those who are discouraged. Servant ministry is giving financial support with a generous heart. Servant ministry is showing mercy to your fellow man. Servant ministry is babysitting for a young mother and father so that they can have a mom and dad's night out. Servant ministry oftentimes is simply having open eyes to see and meet the most obvious needs of those around us who are hurting in some way. Servant ministry is our food pantry ministry and the work that we do to make certain that children in our schools don't go to bed hungry. Servant ministry is not just inviting your unchurched family, neighbors, and friends to church, but bringing them with you to give them the opportunity to meet Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Servant ministry is just being a friend to those in your circle of influence who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's a saying that is shared on the walk to Emmaus that expresses it well. Make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Christ. All of these and countless numbers more are the opportunities Jesus gives us each day for servant ministry. Vibrant churches today are the churches where laity and clergy are equal partners together in ministry. Those of us who are pastor teachers are to equip the saints, the laity, for the work of servant ministry. Part of my ministry here at Pea Ridge is to encourage you in your own servant ministry. One of the ways that I can help fulfill that calling is to help you to discover your personal spiritual gifts for ministry. You might ask, well, how long of a commitment, Pastor, are we to give to servant ministry? How long does Jesus expect each of us to follow his example in servant ministry? We might be able to answer that with the words from the marriage vows that many of us, or most of us, have taken. Until death, us do part. There's no timeline for retirement when it comes to servant ministry. Verse 13 sums it up extremely well. Until all of us come to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ, our goal is to be more and more like Jesus in all of our relationships. In the spirit of 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who's the Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues to transform us to be like Jesus, according to chapter 3 of Colossians, by clothing us with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and love. He enables us to bear with one another and forgive one another as Jesus has forgiven us. These are the characteristics of our servant ministry when we walk in the footsteps of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know the thought of being in ministry is terrifying, but take heart. God does not call the powerful. He empowers the called. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were just common fishermen, and we are heirs to the same promise that Jesus made to them in Acts 1:8, which says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." At the end of the Babylonian captivity, God called Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit used the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 4:6 to remind Zerubbabel that he would accomplish the task not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Servant ministry is never achieved in our own personal strength or power, but always by the Holy Spirit working through us. Every Christian is called to be a servant minister. We need to be reminded of that sometimes. In American slang, a white elephant is something useless to its owner, and I've certainly been the recipient of some white elephants in my life. Rummage sales have all sorts of little white elephants that people pass over. But in Thailand, the white elephant is a symbol of great honor. Some years ago, there was a medical missionary named Dr. Garland Bear, who was given the most exalted order of the white elephant by the King of Thailand. He went there to serve the King of Kings, but the King of Thailand recognized his service to the country. Your service and mine may not be recognized here on earth, and we may not receive honors during our lives. But Jesus assures us that even the cup of cold water given in loving service will be recognized and honored in heaven. Friends, I encourage you to offer up that cold cup of water in His name as God opens your eyes for opportunities to do so each day. And I want you to always remember, as laity and clergy, we are always partners together in ministry for His eternal kingdom, for His eternal glory. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for loving us so much that you would give us the opportunity to be heirs in your kingdom, joint heirs with Jesus. Father, change us, use us, fill us with kindness and compassion, humility, meekness, patience, and love. May we go about this world, Father, seeking those that need to hear your voice and your message. And may we share that, Father, with boldness and courage, so that they too might be able to be joint heirs with us in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we thank you for being allowed to be ministers in your ministry, ministers of your kingdom, as we go about sharing that love message of Jesus to this world. We pray, Father, that we would continue to be worthy. We pray, Father, that your word and that your love would continually change us to be better and worthy children. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you, my one.
Your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps run down on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.